Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good to have you in live here on a Friday edition of the show. Nikhail Braden-Gall, Derek Mason, Marquise Munson with you live from Kitchen Notes inside of the Omni Nashville Hotel. We'll get back to the Titans, all the college football of the weekend. But right now we welcome in our buddy Leif Sterling, ParamountSports.com, who nailed his 45-unit play last week on UCF to go 3-0 and also 10-2 overall for the weekend. And he's back for another weekend of winners. Lee, happy Friday. How you doing, pal?
Good. As a Dolphins fan, it's been rough, and I know you guys aren't feeling great after last night. Did you guys get the feeling, wanted to ask you this, as soon as Jackson fumbled that punt, that it was going to be a long night?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Pretty much
the,
so.
The air went out of the team for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So I turned to a friend of mine and said, it's not going to be a good night here for Tennessee. And just one of those days, just nights just couldn't. Just couldn't get that play. Just couldn't make that play. So got to find a way to regroup. And offensive line was almost as bad as the Dolphins.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's look at the slate this weekend. I know you're all over a handful of games that our fans care about in this market. We begin with Georgia and Notre Dame. The Dogs about a 14-point home favorite between the hedges.
Yeah, and a lot of people, I think, are going to look to Georgia here. They're going to run the football. I don't think there's any question about that. They average, I think, almost 325 pounds per man on offensive line. I mean, they're bigger than most NFL offensive lines. And Notre Dame, a little small in defensive line, average about 274 per man. So Notre Dame's going to have to make some changes there. They're going to have to load the box at times. They're going to have to take some chances blitzing here because I just don't think they want to see Georgia slowly move the ball down the field and wear them out. So I think Notre Dame's coaching staff's pretty good. I also like the back teams coming off a big loss to end the season before. I think they work harder maybe a little bit in the offseason, and that was the case. Notre Dame was in it for maybe a quarter and a half against Clemson in that semifinal game that they lost 30-3. So I think they'll be ready for this game. I think it actually helps them that they played Louisville. Louisville, people might say, well, they're 1-11. Louisville's a much improved team this year. They got a lot of good skill players at quarterback, running back, and receiver. So going on the road, playing at night, I think helps them. And, you know, a couple of years ago, Georgia was +6. They won 20-19 in South Bend. Notre Dame may not return the favor, but 14 points, I think it's too much. I think Georgia wins 34-27, but the Fighting Irish cover.
Auburn and A&M, you know, down in College Station, this is as huge a game as it gets for both sides. The loser's probably done in the SEC West. The winner probably thinks they're a challenger. What do we make of that A&M -4 at home?
Well, you still win games in the SEC in the trenches. And Auburn, they're averaging 282 rushing yards per game. And their defensive line, which may be top three in the country, giving up just 100. So that's a net of +182. You're going to win a lot of games doing that. A&M averaging just 174 yards rushing, and two of the three games were against Texas State, my alma mater, which is not good at all, and Lamar, an FCS opponent. They've already lost their two starting running backs. Corbin got hurt last week, so they're down running backs here. And this is a strange series. The visitor is 6-0-1 against the spread since A&M entered the SEC in 2012. You think of the SEC and home field advantage, but has not played out in this series. And I like Auburn much better with Gus Malzahn this year calling the plays here. Wrong team is favored, guys. I'm going to take Auburn to win outright 28-27.
Hey, you said that last week and about the Titans, and lo and behold, the Indianapolis Colts did win. So I trust you when you say the wrong team is favored.
I try not to say it too often. You got to call like you see it, though, unfortunately.
Exactly. Now, Florida-Tennessee, just a 14-point spread. Do you think that it should, should that spread be that high, considering Florida is ushering in a new quarterback, and they have their own problems? They haven't looked like a top-10 team, but frankly, UT hadn't looked good either, but they have gotten better over the last 2 weeks. Do you think the spread is about right?
I think it might be a little too high. Yeah, I think there's a couple things we're going to talk about, some handicapping tools, and a couple things. I have like 15 different things that I go by, and I never try to, if you know, I'm seeing something, I never try to go against these these strong trends. I mean, these are system plays. If you're going to lay double-digit points, you got to be a scorer. Florida hasn't scored against two Division I teams 30 points. So that's something that scares you. I think Kyle Trask might ultimately be the better quarterback because he doesn't turn the ball over as much as Felipe Franks, but they're not going to hit on, I don't think, as many big plays. And here's something else also we found out in the last 4 or 5 years. It's pace of the game. And Florida gets off just 65 plays per game. That ranks 115 out of 130 teams. I like to back teams like the Oregon Ducks that get off plays quick. Central Florida, every 10 to 12 seconds. Florida's not one of those teams, a series visitor, 7-3-1 against the spread. Guartano, quarterback for Tennessee, doing a nice job, 19 touchdowns, just 5 interceptions. The receivers just need to hold on to the ball a little bit more. I think that they stay in this game by the first quarter. I think this is going to be a tight game here. I have Florida winning 27-20, but the ball's covered. Wouldn't shock me if this game goes right down to the end.
Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com, joining us here on Morning Drive. We transition to the NFL Sunday. The Indianapolis Colts, only a 2-point favorite at home against the Atlanta Falcons. What do you make of this one?
Well, Atlanta won the game last week, but, I mean, they were almost dying to lose the game. I mean, they just usually don't win those close games, and they pulled it out. They ran the flanker screen and ended up going for a touchdown, but I'm still not a believer in this team. They have not fared well on the road. They got to start running the football more. And that's how you win road games. And they just do not want to run the ball enough to you know, really punish some of these teams on the road and take control of the game. So they've got to find a way to get the ball to Devontae Freeman more, running the football and in space. I think he's a difference maker. And then When I look at Indianapolis, people just keep doubting this team. They should be 2-0 in this game. They really have played well, except for those two missed field goals, extra point in their opening week loss against the Chargers. They've been the better team here, and I like guys that make plays in space. Indianapolis has guys on the defensive line, linebacker, and also defensive back position, third and four, third and five. They make tackles before the chains, and Atlanta doesn't do the same. I like Indy here. 28-24.
Phillip Rivers versus Deshaun Watson. Who you got?
Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make that our game of the week. They want to get that game, just call 800-400-9741. We'll give them that game for free. Game that I think going to be the most exciting game of the week is Kansas City at home, laying 6.5 to 7 against Baltimore. Last year, a lot of people forget this game. It was 27-24. The Chiefs won in overtime. I was not a Lamar Jackson fan last year, but I'd heard some reports. He had really worked on his passing. He looks like a different guy. It helps when you got a running back, Ingram, who's certainly taken the load here at the running back position, and then Marquise Brown, the rookie from Oklahoma, is his deep threat right now. So Baltimore's a different team than last year, and the Chiefs, same thing, can't stop the run, 27th in run defense. I'm going to call for the shocker, Baltimore, in a shootout, 38-35.
I like it.
Ah, I like that.
Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. What is the phone number to get in touch and get all of your big plays for the weekly?
Yeah, it's 800-400-9741. They can call the office to order, or like I said, get that game of the week. Chargers in Houston have a real strong opinion on this game. And how about this? If you've never been with me before, you can join me. Two different options this weekend. On Saturday, 7 games, $77. We went 10-2 last weekend. Or how about this in the NFL on Sunday, 5 games, $55. So never taking the leap, joining someone, a former college quarterback. This is all I do is I watch games, and you're gonna be a winner. All my games are on my website where it says recent results. You can see every game I give my clients over the last 5 years. So two ways to win, Paramount Sports. .com, 7 for 77 Saturday, 5 for 55 on Sunday, or call us here at the office, 800-400-9741.
Have a good weekend, Lee. We appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, guys.
You got it. Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com.
You have a lot of 10-2 weekends?
I could go for a 10-2 weekend.
Yeah, I think we all could.
Yeah. I could go for some winning hockey right about now, just anything other than Titans football. But yeah, we're going to come back, and we're going to talk Titans football. Because that's what we're paid to do. It's Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 a game. Welcome back into Morning Drive. ESPN 102.5 The Game. A little Kitchen Notes action here on a Football Friday, the Omni Nashville Hotel. Or all sorts of activity going on outside of the Omni right now. A lot of which I can't divulge publicly.
Yeah.
We're just being friendly.
Yeah, we're just
we're being brand representatives for 102.5 The Game.
Exactly. We're trying to get people to notice that we're here.
Yeah.
And look at our sign that said 102.5 The Game. Listen.
All right, we'll get back to your Titans call, 737-1025. Marquise, I don't have a name on line two. Who do we got?
We got Alvin here coming back.
All right, let's go to Alvin. I don't think this is Alvin Kamara or Alvin the Chipmunk, but it's just Alvin who wants to talk Titans. What's up, Alvin?
Hey, what's up, man? First of all, I want to say, bring back Russ Grimm. And secondly, why ain't nobody blaming John Robinson? You waste a first-round pick on a guy. Now, he's going to be an impact later on, but we ain't got time to bring in the backfield. But we need impact players now. And secondly, he ain't done nothing since he brought in DeMarco Murray. Ain't nobody even looking at John Robinson. And secondly, an offensive line, Taylor Warren, he's one player. Why would you do with him quick as thing? You should have kept him and going. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, Alvin, I think it's a good point. I mean, the problem is you evaluate players in the moment, right? You overreact to players and to coordinators, especially. You evaluate head coaches on a little bit longer, window of data. You evaluate a GM on even a longer window than that. The GM is evaluated over a longer period of time, and he's done a lot of great things. But I think your point is valid. In the moment, right now, the two biggest investments that this team made for the offensive line were a third-round pick on Nate Davis and a $44 million contract for Roger Saffold. And what have they gotten in return for that investment? And they've gotten an okay running game and 17 sacks. So I think it's fair to say to John Robinson, all right, you spent $36 million on Adam Humphries and $44 on Saffold and a third-round pick on Nate Davis. Now, A.J. Brown looks like a good quality pick. Kevin Byard, Jayon Brown, elite-level draft picks for where they were taken in the draft. So there's a lot of good on his resume. He also built a 2-14 team into a winning team, so that's part of this equation as well. But largely his evaluation is going to be tied to Vrabel because he was in charge of the decision to move on from Mularkey to Vrabel. And he will be judged on Mike Vrabel, basically. And maybe that's fair, maybe it's not, but that's how he's going to be judged. And Vrabel, so far, 2 weeks in a row, has made mind-bogglingly, just mind-numbing decisions. The field goal, to not go for the field goal on 4th and 6 in the third quarter, which would have made it an 11-point game last night, is asinine to me. And the way he handled the 35-second runoff with 4.5 minutes to go last week was ridiculous to me.
But I think he mentioned something about John Robinson and his first-round pick, obviously Jeffrey Simmons, and getting no return on that. But the reality is I think everybody should be on board with the Simmons move because I think he was the best player available at that potential spot. But if they drafted somebody else other than Jeffrey Simmons that was healthy, active, and available, I don't think the Titans' bottom line changes the first 3 weeks.
No, because their defense is not the problem.
Right.
The defense is not, giving up 28 points a game, 24 points a game.
Now, they got ran on last week.
Yeah.
They gave up 160 yards rushing last week.
But for the most part, this is a good defense. They're leading the league in takeaways. So this is a defense, and that's what we wanted. We wanted more sacks and more takeaways. Well, they're getting both. Now, the last two games as far as sacks, they had their opportunities. Just couldn't bring Jacoby Brissett to the ground, and that was one of the things they had to do this past game. Well, they couldn't even really get to Gardner Minshew last night. So during your evaluation, you just don't want to evaluate, the GM game by game. You kind of let this thing play out. But he does have some misses. He does have some misses.
Kevin Dodd, total whiff.
He has some hits. The biggest is Kevin Byard. Let this thing continue to play out. But, what's going to be the biggest whiff for him? Because he's already had one. Chance Womack, he was here. He drafted Chance. No, it was before him.
The signings of Sylvester Williams, and made no sense to me at the time. Benny Logan made no sense to me.
It's gonna
but
come
those are cheap signs.
It's going to come down to two things: drafting Nate Davis and getting Saffold. If those two guys don't materialize to anything this year, especially Saffold this year, it's hard to get an offensive lineman to play up to, you know, up to that Pro Bowl caliber when he's been in the league already for 10 years. And then you put him on another team. A lot of times you don't get the same production. And that's what's happening so far, that you're not getting the same production from Saffold that the Rams got from him last year. And if you brought him in just to be a run blocking guy, and you knew it, then shame on you. Because if I'm paying him that much money, he needs to be run and pass.
615-737-1025, the number if you want to get in on the Tennessee Titans. And I thought Teron really nailed it, just looking at this team big picture through the first three games of the season. It is really hard to fathom how you could be so jacked up, so ready for the Cleveland game, and then follow that up with two straight games in your own division and look the way you did, where they didn't look like they were ready to go from jump street.
Yeah, well, and here's, I guess, one of my questions for you, Derek, among the many millions of questions we have for you. Is it a sign of a lack of mental toughness that you allow a mistake, which is a lack of mental focus in the first place, like the muff punt last night from Adoree Jackson? Can never have a muff. And if that happens, is it a sign of lack of mental toughness that you cannot overcome that one play you allow to affect the whole team the rest of the night, or at least for the first half? Like, is that a sign of lack of mental toughness, or is that being too hard on them?
No, it's not being too hard on them. I think it is. And for a player, and you know, that if he can't, because football is a game of short-term memory. You got to have short-term memory. If you can't get past a really good play or a really bad play, then the likelihood of you playing in this league for a considerable amount of time is very slim, because there's going to be times where you have made some great plays, and if you can't put that great play, you know, in a suitcase, you know, lock it up and put it away and go on to the next play, then, you know, you can't be a guy in this league that's going to play a long time. And it's the same for a bad play. If you can't take that bad play and say, you know what, it was a bad play, put it in a suitcase, lock it up, and throw it away, then you can't play in this league for a long time. Because there's going to be ebb and flows in games. And, you know, you got to forget about what happened the last play. You know, because if you don't, then you're subject to not perform well moving forward. Adoree Jackson, you fumbled. Okay, fine. Don't let that affect you moving forward. The team, yeah, he fumbled. He muffed a punt. Absolutely. But don't allow that to, you know, dictate how you approach the game moving forward. And I think the Titans, at times, they are a team that sort of,
it's like a roller coaster,
you know, yeah,
of emotions.
It's sort of like they soak in this woe is me,
right,
until something happens, another good play happens, and then they can kind of come out of it. You can't be that way, man. Bad plays are going to happen, you move on. Good plays are going to happen, you move on.
Right.
And that's the way you have to approach it, and they haven't approached it that way.
Yeah.
615-737-1025 is the number. Let's go to, I believe this is former Titan Harry Douglas. Harry Douglas, you're on Morning Drive.
Hey, how's it going? No, this ain't the legend Harry Douglas, but I feel like what's going on with the Titans is the Tennessee Titans fans, they're giving these Titans expectations year after year, and then once the expectations aren't met, the Titans fans are holding resentment. But at the same time, we got to understand this isn't the Titans team of 1999 and 98. You know, we got to realize it's different players, and we, you know, it's a new time and age in football, in the NFL. And I feel like the Titans need to catch up to that time and age to do better.
No, you're absolutely right. I was talking, I ran into a Titan fan not too long ago. It was last week. And they said, you know, what's wrong with the offense, man? It's just, it seems like they're just stuck in like this archaic type of way of playing. And I said, you know, you might be right, because I look at who we were in 1999. You can pick up that same team right now and put them on the Tennessee Titans in 2019. It would be the same. Or you could take the 2019 and throw them back to 1999. It would be the same offense. Nothing changed. The same philosophy.
I mean, how many times have we seen the same screen pass?
Exactly.
In three games?
How
many times?
And that's not good when your offense, from an organizational standpoint, hasn't evolved.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know why that's the case. They have not evolved. Yeah, they had some years where they was really good at passing the ball, and we know those years. But for the most part, this team has been the same team from 1999 to 2019.
615-737-1025. DeMario is next on Morning Drive. What's up, DeMario?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, bud.
Hey, quick comment. I think what Mr. Mason was just saying about the team is, I mean, grown men, I felt like that in high school when, you know, you have a team full of great players, and then everyone is watching and waiting to see if one player is going to make a play for everybody to come out of a slump, instead of everybody feeling like, you know, let's make the play. You know, somebody being the playmaker is stepping up. And I mean, I wanted to also know, what do you all think about, I think it maybe was last year, if once Taylor Lewan comes back, moving Dennis Kelly to the right tackle and moving Conklin into the right guard. I mean, is that a combination that, you know, would work? Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, DeMario, we've talked about that twice today, I think, and I think you're right on. The hope, if you are a Titans fan, the desperate hope, if you're a Titans fan, is that Taylor Lewan not only fixes one position, the left tackle spot, but that he fixes a second position, because it allows you to move Dennis Kelly to either right guard or move Conklin to right guard. I think Conklin is playing pretty well at right tackle. Last night he had a couple of really bad plays. But by and large, he looks like he's returning back to form. If Dennis Kelly is willing to play right guard, or if Jack Conklin's willing to play right guard, or, oh, by the way, your third-round draft pick is capable of playing any snap of football, then maybe you can fix two positions with one guy. That doesn't stop Roger. That doesn't make Roger Saffold a great pass blocker. That doesn't make Ben Jones capable of stopping Calais Campbell. There's still other issues. It's not a panacea that's just going to fix all the problems. But the hope, if you are a Titans fan, is that Lewan not only fixes one position, but ideally fixes the right guard position as well, because it adds depth and guys can shuffle and you can put the best five guys out there. Is that going to get you to the playoffs? Is that going to solve all the other issues? Who knows? But right now, none of it works because the offensive line is atrocious.
615-737-1025, the number. We'll come back, get more of your Titans calls. We've got Stick to Sports coming up at 845. Also, we'll get back to the college and also the Preds tonight back in preseason action. All of that still ahead here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D-Maze Marquise. We're live this morning from Kitchen Notes inside of the Omni Nashville Hotel. Stick to Sports coming up in just about 12 minutes. We'll continue taking your Titans calls. If you want to jump in, 737-1025, 615-737-1025. But also, big weekend in college football coming up. Let's get back into that for a little bit here. The Vols and the Gators, they go to the Swamp. Two touchdown underdog. We had Josh Ward on exactly 2 hours ago, and we talked about just, you know, how they can actually make this a game early on, stay in it. Josh thinks it'll be within the number, won't win the game, but we're not going to see something like we did last year in Knoxville.
Yeah, and I'll let Derek, because Derek's, you know, taking the balls to win outright here, I'll let him kind of finish this conversation. But I'm kind of in between. I'm kind of with Josh. I think there's a lot of reason for the Vols to play over their heads in this game. It feels a little bit like there are some weaknesses for Florida. They're breaking in a new starting quarterback, even though he's been around the program a long time, and Kyle Trask. They're going to use Emory Jones a lot as an athlete. You know, their offensive line has not been able to establish the run at all, so that's a positive, where maybe you look at the defense with Daniel Batuli back and you say, all right, can the defensive front make some plays, get some stops, keep it low scoring, keep their offense in it? They've got some depth concerns in the secondary. Can maybe Juwan Jennings and Marquez Callaway take advantage of some of those matchups down the field, because they don't have as much depth in the secondary? So you look at those matchups and you go, all right, rivalry game, energy levels, throw out the record. They're coming off their best game. Are they confident to go down there and play well enough to win? I just don't see them having enough talent, frankly, to beat Florida. Florida's defense is the best unit on the field. But you can lay out all the reasons why Tennessee could go down there and play over their heads. And if that happens, they can keep it within 14. All they need to be is, you know, within a touchdown going into the fourth quarter, and then anything can happen. It just doesn't – I don't know if they can sustain long drives against a Florida defense on the road for 60 minutes. That's asking a lot of an offense that, you know, again, they've shown some signs of life running the football, but that's against BYU and Chattanooga, not against the Florida Gators defense in the swamp.
And that's the other thing, too. I think clearly we all realize Dan Mullen versus Jeremy Pruitt is a coaching mismatch, at least right now. Mm-hmm. But to your point about the Florida defense, I don't trust Jim Chaney to the point of changing up his methodical game plan, getting ultra aggressive, showing a ton of imagination and creativity, a lot like Arthur Smith. I feel like I know what I'm getting with Jim Chaney, and I don't think that's enough on the road to make this game a game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you might be right, but there's just something. I think this game for this is their Auburn game. This game, I think, lines up perfectly for the Vols. And I say that because, again, yes, Trask played good against Kentucky. Yes, they have a really good defensive front. But Florida hasn't looked like a top 10 team at all, no parts of this season. Even when Felipe Franks was quarterback.
It's hard to keep all the out for the year quarterbacks in the SEC straight. Terry Wilson also might play in this game. I don't know.
Exactly. So even with Felipe Franks, they still didn't look like a top 10 team. And if you look at UT, go back to, yes, the Georgia State, yes, it was a horrible, horrible loss. The worst probably in program's history. but after that, they've been playing a lot better. They played a lot better against BYU. If it's not for a blown coverage, they win that game. They did what they were supposed to do against Chattanooga. This is a team right now that seems to be getting a little bit better. And I just think that, you know,
And Bryce Thompson might be back in the secondary.
This
for them.
Is their exactly.
He's on the plane down there. Why would you bring him with you
if he's not going to play yet?
So.
But this is a moment where everything just might come together. Now they can't have six turnovers like they did last year, but this is the moment where I think everything's at least for one game. Everything's going to come together. They're going to run the football well. They're going to make plays in the passing game. And they're going to do enough on defense, meaning the Vols, to win that football game.
There is a very Auburnish feel to it. You're right, because the game plan would have to be the same, right? Garantano would have to go down the field to Jennings, down the field to Callaway. They're going to have to make plays. They're going to have to run the football well. And they're going to have to play mistake-free football on offense. And that's what they did against Auburn as a two-touchdown underdog on the road against a team struggling. That's exactly what Florida kind of is, right? They're 3-0, but they're not playing their best football. I know it's going to be too. This is going to be too simplified here, guys. But if Kyle Trask truly does make the offense better in the air than Felipe Franks, if that is a thing that's real, Tennessee has no chance.
That's how I view this game.
If Kyle Trask is a backup quarterback and he is not as good as the leader of the offense, Felipe Franks, who had his flaws, then Tennessee can be in this game in the end. But if the offense picked up speed when Kyle Trask went into the game against Kentucky. Now, again, is that just the emotion of the moment? Certainly. But when you talk to people around that Florida team, they've been saying it since last summer. The passing attack is better with Kyle Trask. We are going to find out if that's true or not. Because they got really good receivers.
You mentioned picking up speed. Lee Sterling said that to us when we had him on 30 minutes ago. The Florida offense averages about 65 plays per game. If they play at a quicker tempo with Kyle Trask, that spells disaster for Tennessee. Because this is a team that has trouble getting aligned defensively.
And they've been over 300 yards passing. Florida has each of the last two games. Think about that. That's weird. Can't run the football. But they've been – I think they threw for 254 against Miami and been over 300 yards against UT Martin and Kentucky on the road. And, again, the majority of those yards came from Kyle Trask last week against Kentucky. So you have to – it's really just comes down to – like now that he's the guy, now that he's in charge and he's the quarterback, not – you know, rallying to a fallen teammate with the emotion of the moment. It's just very different to react in a game and then to be the starter going into a game. It's just a very different situation. So if in fact Kyle Trask makes the passing offense more efficient and more dangerous down the field, I'm not sure Tennessee can win the game.
Stick to Sports is coming up in just about 5 minutes, top of the hour. One thing that the Preds are doing, it's from a change standpoint that I absolutely love, that I think has a good chance of paying off, plus our pigskin picks today against the spread. We got a lot to do in the final hour and 15 minutes. Live from Kitchen Notes, the Omni Nashville Hotel. Morning Drive rolls on with Stick to Sports after this on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I want to feel the heat with somebody. Hey, I want to dance with somebody who loves me.
Welcome back in, Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Whitney. Good to have you in here on a football Friday.
Oh, yeah.
D-May's feeling good.
Oh, no doubt.
Whitney's not about the playing? Performance last night, but...
Oh, know, heck no.
A little
no.
Whitney.
Yeah.
We've got a lot to do in the final hour and 15 minutes. Don't forget, programming reminder tonight, the Predators in Tampa Bay. They skate with the Lightning. Puck drop at 6. Here on 102.5 The Game, and then back tomorrow here in Nashville again against Tampa Bay, a 7 o'clock puck drop. But right now, let's drop the puck on Stick to Sports.
The world is a crazy place.
Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Let's lighten the mood.
After all that seriousness, you're just going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash.
Basically.
And stick to sports. And now, on Morning Drive.
All right, D-May, Stick to Sports is presented by the good people at...
Decorating Den Interior. Stick with the pros at Decorating Den. When you're ready to decorate your home, office, or outdoor spaces, request a complimentary appointment, which is free in this world, at DecoratingDen.com.
Could Decorating Den Interiors fix the Titans' offensive line?
Just the
that is the million-dollar question.
Just the interior.
Just the interior. Interior.
They cannot handle the tackle. Yeah, that beats to it.
Yes.
I mean, they probably could handle a front porch or a back porch or something. Yeah.
Go ahead, Hollywood.
Number one.
All right, D-Base, you guys teased something earlier. Now I'm very intrigued and curious, being a single man in Nashville. D-Base, what's up with the dating advice, homie? Help a brother out here.
Hey, man, if you want me to help you out, come on out tonight.
Oh, I thought you were about to hit me with Cool Springs MD or something.
Oh, yeah, that'll help you out, too.
I feel like that's for later in the marriage, not beginning of the dating.
Yeah, you should be all right in that category. No, but come on out, man. I can help you with some love advice, some dating advice. We're going to be at the City Winery tonight, 7 p.m., you know. So
there will be single people purchasing tickets to ask you questions about how to find love.
How to the great love debate, whether it's finding love, keeping love, getting away from love, whatever you want, love is involved.
Here, I'll take care of getting away from the love. It's real easy. Be respectful and be direct. That's it. It's not. Don't lie. Be respectful. Be direct.
You got some good panels.
I'm not emotionally available. Try that one.
Yeah, there you go.
So people got to pay for your love advice when they could just listen to you on the radio and slide in the DMs?
Absolutely. But
get the Insta snap.
No, this is face to face. This is face to face.
Yeah, this is face to face.
Oh, it's face to face. I thought it was a DM party over here. Never
mind. No. Did you not know this, Marquise? He is going to be on a panel at City Winery tonight. You probably should tell people more about this.
Yes,
Derek.
At City Winery tonight. 7 p.m. Doors open. Hey, listen, you can go on thegreatlovedebate.com. You can get your tickets.
I'm checking this out right now.
Greatlovedebate.com. Get your tickets. I'm going to be there. I'm going to give all types of love advice, okay? Myself and five other people. Myself, another guy, and then obviously there are four girls. So, you know, we're going to give out some good love advice. So if you want to keep your lady, dismiss your lady. Keep your man, dismiss your man. You know, figure out, is he really into me or is she really into me? Come and check me out. I can give some good love advice.
I will not stand for secondary violations. I will dismiss you from the team so fast. Secondary violations. I don't even care if it's first degree violation. Extra bagels.
Come on down, man.
All right, next.
Number two.
Speaking of getting away from love, a man in Texas is wanted because he was divorcing his wife without telling her. And that is pretty much illegal in Texas. So basically this man
especially
is wanted
in Texas.
Yeah. This man is wanted for forging his wife's name on the copy of the divorce papers without telling his wife. And basically this is perjury in Texas, and Yeah, so he can face up to 10 years if he's found guilty of this whole thing. So 10 years in jail, all because he wanted to just divorce his wife, but without telling her, he forged her information.
Well, hell, he's probably been in jail for 10 years. Yes. That's why he wants to get out.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's illegal to forge a signature in any state in the country. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, men have done worse things trying to get out of what could happen in a divorce proceeding, I would imagine.
Just imagine us being on the other end of the spectrum. Uh-huh. If our wives filed for divorce and went through the whole process and we didn't know, and we just got it in the paper like, you're officially divorced. You're like, what? I thought our marriage was great.
Well, and I don't know. You see, it's, you know, I don't know, TV, whatever. I mean, I don't want to, like, Derek, you've been through this. Let's talk to Derek. I don't want to do that. No. But, like, I would imagine there's plenty of situations where a person, a spouse, mm-hmm. has gone to the lawyer, has gotten the paperwork filed, and has gotten it signed and presents it to the spouse saying, I need you to sign this because this is what's happening legally. And the other person being like, huh?
I'm sure I bet that you it's probably happened. Has happened. Yeah. I mean, that would be a real crappy way to end a divorce, though.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm sitting on the couch watching the ball game, and then the missus walk in and say, hey, here.
But you know how
and you're like, what? And you open it, and it's like, oh, my goodness, seriously?
But think about how nasty it gets when lawyers get involved.
Oh, yeah.
Like, lawyers get involved. Like, you could see two people. I've had friends who've gotten divorced who are like, they were wonderfully nice people, both sides of the equation. And as soon as the lawyers get involved, it turns into bloody warfare. And it's just like, because it's all, there's so much that, you know, huge sums of money are at stake, you know, whether it's future money or past money. It's just awful situation. I just feel bad for people going through it.
Number three.
All right, I need to figure out if this is a boss move and this is a move that you guys would do at home, because a man installed a fridge safe to stop his girlfriend from eating snacks in his refrigerator. So this Facebook post from a lady who says, so this is what it's come down to. You buy a house together, you have children together, you get engaged, and you're planning your wedding and doing the house up, and this is what happens. Dave, which is the guy's name, goes out and buys a fridge safe because he doesn't want to share his chocolate with me anymore. Anyone want him? Surely this is breakup material, right? What a prick.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I would do this for my daughters. Uh-huh. I would get locks on my refrigerator and snack cabinet, not to protect my snacks, uh-huh. but to protect them from devouring all of theirs. I'm telling you, my daughters, they go to that cabinet five times a day. Daddy, can I get a mozzarella stick? Can I get more Starburst? Can I get an oatmeal cream pie? I'm like, no.
So here, I told you my strategy. Just eat it all for them. That's why I'm gaining weight. Now, also, you got to keep the oatmeal cream pies and the candy out of the house. That's a whoever's purchasing the groceries problem.
I've been trying to tell the wife.
But we got mozzarella sticks for days. We got goldfish for days. We got all kinds of stuff for days. And I think I'm going to be the savior of my children's health and eat all that food for them. I just think that's the right strategy. Mm. Cotton.
I don't. End up getting radio butt. So I don't want that.
Well, I'm working on it.
Here we go again.
You are, man. You need to chill out.
Hey, settle down over there, okay? I look just fine.
No more oatmeal cream pies.
You guys notice? Not nearly as disheveled today? Yeah. All right? Yeah. You guys shamed me into wearing a collared shirt and khakis on.
Well, we are in public today.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Do you guys, like, share food with your wives at all? When you guys go out to dinner and she wants to try something and she kind of picks off your plate, you guys share food with your wives?
No.
I do, but that's part of
it. I did.
That's our strategy, though. It's like we both see something we both like on the menu, and we want to try both of them, so we get two things, and then we both get a little bit of both.
Well, Nick says no, so.
No, I mean,
I was always known.
That's because your wife puts ketchup on
it. She puts ketchup or applesauce on everything, so I can't have anything. It's a disgrace. It's a food felony.
So what are you for?
What was the question?
Yeah, Marquise.
Well, I mean, that was it for number three. But
I definitely stash things in my office that I don't want my kids or wife to know about.
Oh, wow.
Do you really?
For sure. Yeah, like food. Like if there's a trip, if I don't buy it very often. But
I thought you were about to say the Jet magazine.
No.
The Jet Beauty of the Week. I have to make sure we get the long time.
I'm hiding the Beauty of the Week from my wife. No, it's like those, you know, that Costco tub of peanut butter pretzels you can buy?
They're like those things are addictive,
dude. Like it's the little pretzel with the peanut butter inside.
Yes, those are addictive.
And
man.
And so I buy the Costco size one, and then you know after I come home from Costco, I put all the groceries down, and then one of those things ends up in the office. The peanut butter pretzels end up in the office. It's not chocolate in a safe. But you know, it's just honey, I just left it in here on accident. My bad.
So speaking of food and speaking of refrigerators, now how Americans waste food obviously all the time, and so how much do you think people waste in a single year as far as pounds of food?
I don't know this number. This is gonna the amount of people that go
just pounds. Let's go pounds of pounds of food that people spoil and throw out of their fridge every year.
The amount of starving children around this world is we're all going to feel bad about it.
Are you referring to each individual person?
Yeah, just each individual person.
I will say the average human being wastes 75 pounds of food a year.
I'm going to go 600.
I'm going to go at least, 500 to 600 pounds.
Y'all are bad at Price is Right, man. It's 103. 103.
Well, Nick won. That's a pretty good guess.
103. But it adds up in a lifetime. In a person's lifetime, it's over 6,000 pounds of an average lifetime for an adult that you waste of food.
So sad. So sad. People should be composting if you're wasting food at least.
God. But the most common food, obviously fruit, bananas, strawberries, apples, and then also leafy greens and potatoes and meats at 43% was the food wasted. That's a lot of food. Wow. $53 a week. For people that waste food in their fridge. $53 a week.
And millions of children starving all around the world. And we're just throwing food away.
Period.
We got one more or are we done?
Number five.
One more.
We got the five.
Holy cow.
Yeah, we got the five. Finally, about time, man. A Florida man listed a Bugatti on Craigslist. And it was not actually a Bugatti. It was a Mercury, a 2002 Mercury. But he tried to sell it off like he was selling a Bugatti, and he listed this Bugatti at $125,000. But the people come to find out it was a 2002 Mercury Cougar that he was trying to sell the whole time.
Cougar. So, true story. My first car was a 93 Mercury Sable.
Oh wow!
I was rooting for it to be a LeBaron, not a Cougar, but the Cougar's almost as good.
Yeah, Cougars are great.
They really are.
Yeah. Now, did he have a picture of the Bugatti?
Yes, he did. So it was like a sideways picture because the Bugatti logo is at the front of the car. So he has like a sideways picture on the post on Craigslist, which basically you can't tell if it's a Bugatti or not from the side of it if you don't know what a Bugatti looks like. So he basically took a side picture of it, posted it up on Craigslist, and try to sell it off as it was a Bugatti.
I feel like if you're in the market for a Bugatti, you know what a Bugatti looks like.
Yes. You're not looking on Craigslist.
And you're not buying one on Craigslist.
Wow. I wonder if he had a bunch of callers, like people calling to inquire about the car.
People are so dumb.
Like $125,000 for a Bugatti that costs $1 million.
You are so dumb.
Nah, not really. Not really. I wouldn't even call you, brother.
I mean, I know people look
Why
at
are
Craigslist
people on Craigslist?
Cars.
Yeah.
Exactly. What are you on Craigslist for anyway?
We bought a crib almost on Craigslist. Is that
a house?
No. And I'm white. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Like an actual crib. Come on. Like a crib. Like a one for my baby, man.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Oh, crib. I thought you bought that house on Craigslist.
I was like, that house you got in East Nashville from Craigslist? I was like, that's what's up.
Oh, man.
All right, that's it. Stick to sports. We are done. Final hour coming up next. We'll get back to the Titans, the Vols. We've got picks, the big finish. A lot to do in the final 60. But one potential change that I think could pay dividends for the Preds, that's next as we kick off the 9 o'clock hour on Morning Drive.